Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of the Weekly Conversation. It's a Tuesday edition. I'm your host, Kyle, the man with the mic. If you don't know, Wednesday and Thursday, I tried to set up a show and everything, and the server's not responding, or you get it all set up, and then it wouldn't save it, wouldn't do anything, so they were having server problems on their end, my end, so I'm back. We're going to talk probably about 20 minutes about the Premier League tonight, folks, so be prepared for that if you're a Premier League fan. Great news with my team, Manchester United. Something happened to Jose. I want to get into that. I want to get into this also. Alex Baldwin has claimed that Trump is a punishment for the variety of American sins. Whatever. Congrats to an 83-year-old Vietnam vet, Jimmy Jones, who recently earned his PhD. Congratulations. Now, now that you've graduated, the assisted living community is right over there, sir. I mean, that dude looks like he's in better shape than I am. But then those Vietnam vets are a badass. I want to get into this because I think I'm a huge coin. Not I like coins. And this is interesting. An 1891 $1,000 silver certificate. One, and I believe it's the only one that exists, it's in private hands, is going to be auctioned off, and it's expected to fetch millions now. Wow. Just to see one. I mean, when we went to the coin museum in Colorado, and like you were looking at, like, I told my wife, there's maybe three coins. You might be looking at one of only two others in existence. This is amazing. Coming out of the Google CEO, from the Google CEO in an interview, Sundar Pichai, P-I-C-H-A-I, he said that he's concerned about artificial intelligence and that it needs to have ethical guardrails and have limitations. He has real concerns about it, and he's the CEO of Google and coming out with this. Normally, you would think someone like that would kind of keep it under wraps. Not the case. A California jewelry store owner's nephew pulled out a gun on suspects as two men allegedly tried to rob his uncle's store. Wow. A good guy with a gun stopping a robber. Who would ever have thought that would happen? There's going to be a referendum come 2020, where New Zealand is looking at legalizing marijuana. It's amazing. Colorado has had no issues with legal cannabis, making millions of dollars, and all these negative things that they said were going to happen, and look at all the repercussions. And it's going down. And now all these, I honestly think within a year, they're looking at descheduling it to a Schedule II drug to where it has medical benefits so they can study it more. And I think it's just going to roll on down the highway. So that's going to be kind of interesting to see how that goes, you know, to see if New Zealand does actually go through with it and all this stuff. Indiana, the governor of Indiana, a Democrat and Republican shoes, says that, you know, that we need to have new hate crime laws, you know, that they're going to pass or way past, way overdue and all this stuff. And I don't understand the hate crime laws. I don't understand this because it kind of goes back to babies cold outside being considered offensive. Because, I mean, I could take a dictionary and I could flip through the book and stick my finger on it and find something offensive about it. So I want to thank you so much for tuning into the program that you are a part of. And remember Isaiah 26:9. In the night I search for you, in the morning I earnestly seek you. For only when you come to judge the earth will people learn what is right. Think about that as you're going through your day to day, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in. And I just want to get off and get into this really quickly, because if you haven't heard by now, if you're into the Premier League, Jose Mourinho was fired. So I'm just excited about that. So like the last 20 minutes of the program, I'm going to be getting into that. Because that was the first thing I woke up to, was looking on my phone and the Twitter account said Jose Mourinho tweeted for the first time in a long while and said I'm out of United. So I'm going to get into that down the road. At the last 20 minutes or so, I want to get into that. But I can't believe that Alex Baldwin has basically come out and tweeted and said that he thinks Trump is the punishment for slavery and slaughtering and Native Americans and all this stuff, and Trump is cursed, and he has been brought down to punish us for our sins, even though most people have no problem with him, and what he's doing in this country is great. The people, I mean, it's amazing how many people I know that really didn't have a problem with Trump, and now all of a sudden they want somebody there who can, you know, I didn't really have a problem with him, and all of a sudden they do because he's president and this and that. I'm not, you know, people that, oh, because he's just a corrupt billionaire and all this stuff, and I'm like, he does a lot of good. I don't know a lot of people that are super successful that don't do, most people I know that are super successful, they're not 100% perfect. They know the loopholes, they know how to bend the rules. You know, it's like when you look at the Tour de France. They had a guy that was talking about the Tour de France, and he said, if you took every single solitary team that had at least one person that's blood doping, if you don't know what blood doping is, they take their blood out, and when they reinsert it, they get energy, they get, it helps their body, and they can go more and do more. He said, you would not have one team running in the Tour de France. Because one person for every, and that's the problem, that, you know, like, if you have corrupt Democrats, and no one cares about them. But when you have someone like Donald J. Trump that's corrupt, how dare you? Well, I mean, it's Trump, you know? I mean, if he was a Democrat presidential candidate and won, they'd be praising his butt. They would love him. You know, he is someone that, okay, why are we spending billions of dollars on countries that hate us? Why are we offering protection for countries that aren't paying us back? I don't get, you know. Stuff he said in 1980, he's saying the same thing. It's great when I can take my liberal friends who don't know anything and sit there and say, okay, well, what's it about the wall that you don't like? What's it about this that you don't like? And then when I can show them a video of Barack Obama supporting everything Trump's supporting now, and they're like, Barack Obama supported that? Hillary Clinton wanted that? I thought Hillary Clinton liked gay people. I said, she was against gay marriage for many, many years. It's only recently that now the gays are a huge voting bloc, that now she wants their votes. It's ridiculous. And this can date me. Because I was like, you know, when I was, because we have lineups at work, and what lineup is where you talk about, okay, this is the soup, this is what's in it, this is the different dishes that we're having, this is what's in it, and then at the end of the thing, I said, well, win one for the Gipper. And no, like, what? What do you mean, win one for the Gipper? I'm like, you've never heard that famous line from Newt Rockne, the famous coach of Notre Dame? Like, who's Newt Rockne? I'm like, well, you're too young. You're too young. These kids don't get it. They don't understand. Wait a minute here. There's no such thing as government funded. It's taxpayer funded. I mean, the problem you have, there's tons of jobs out there. I'm not saying there's not. But you need like $15 or $17 to make it in this world. And a lot of the jobs out there that are coming out are not that high paying. Not that there's not jobs. There's lots of jobs out there. But there's not a lot of jobs in the terms of high paying jobs.
Yeah.
And that's one of the big issues. You know, I mean, we're going in the right direction. The gas prices, I think I paid under $2. For the first time in a long time. It's one of those things that people don't realize. When you can have kids that don't understand cursive, I mean, I think our kids are more dumbed down than they've ever been. And now I read an article where there's not going to be such thing as snow days. Because if you have a day off because it snows bad, you're going to have like e-learning. You're going to have e-learning. Hard to believe. So these kids that are being dumbed down the way it is, now look at how smart we turned out, how good we turned out, and we didn't even. If it snowed, we didn't go to school. Now you're going to do, like, learning. Pretty soon they're going to give you a computer, school with a laptop or something that you're going to have, and you're going to have, like, web classes where the teacher's going to, like, you're going to have to get up and go to school from your house when it's a snow day. It's going to be, and these kids are, I don't know. It's just crazy. Because a lot of these people are like, oh, I want Obamacare. Everybody thinks everything's free. Oh, I'm going to have free health care. I'm going to have free this. Well, who's paying for it? What do you mean paying for it? It's free. Okay, someone's got to pay for it. Someone's got to pay for all this stuff. There's no free rides in this world. An 83-year-old Vietnam vet, Jimmy Jones, earned his PhD from LSU. He shows that you're never too old to jump into something special and do something out of it and make something of yourself. It's amazing because you have so many people that just want everything handed to them, and here's somebody that's like, I'm going to do something. I'm going to make something of myself. I'm going to bust my butt and go 100 miles an hour. It's just one of those things that people don't think about. You know, this generation is a me generation. I'm just going to give me, give me, give me. I want. I shouldn't have to work. I shouldn't have to be, I should just be given whatever. And that's not the case. I mean, you know, money doesn't grow on trees. You have to earn it. Now you wonder what he's going to do with that, being up there in age like he is. Yep. I wonder if his loans are paid off. I'm just saying, I mean. Because, I mean, think about it, 83 years old. I mean. Granted, as many of you are new to the conversation, I do have a muscle disease. In the categories of the muscular dystrophy family, a myopathy, I run a support group. And I know what it's like to be in pain and fatigue and tired and all this stuff all the time. I know what it's like. And to see like people like my dad go 24/7, 365, it's rough. Because I don't get it, because I can't do it, and I'm 40, and he's 70. You know, so... But I want to get... This is what's really scary, because I want to get into this one, because if you ever watch, like, the old MacGyvers and some of these old shows, and you look at stuff, and you look at it, and you go, wow, they had a computer that could run, and, okay, Sandy, please turn off the alarm system. Turning off alarm system. Sandy, activate alarm system. Alarm system activated. And then, like, things that, you know, probably, man, like, wow, that's, like, way into the future. But the Google CEO, Sundar Pichai, says that he has real fears about human, about, like, artificial intelligence. He has very legitimate concerns, and that there needs to be some ethical guardrails to ensure that how this is taken care of so it's not abused. That's just scary. And, I mean, coming from a CEO of his stature, it's just because you would think something like this, they would want to keep under wraps. They wouldn't want people to know that, hey, you know, this artificial intelligence, that there's nothing really to it. It's not really going to go anywhere. It's not going to do anything, you know. But when you have that, you sit there and you go, wait a minute here. This is a CEO saying, hey, we need to have some guidelines to ensure this is not abused, you know. I believe in a lot of things, like back in the day, there's evidence that they did massive testing on people with LSD. And I feel like that it's one of those things that this needs to be taken seriously. If you listen to him, he's like, hey, this is a real concern. It needs to be taken not lightly, and let's go forward with this. And I think he's justified in it. I really do. Applaud him for coming out and saying what he's saying, because I never would have thought, like, a CEO that would kind of have something like that. It's just some of the things you saw when you were a kid, you know, now are starting to be, hey, that's kind of a reality. But as many of I didn't really care for her a lot politically, but Penny Marshall, who was on Laverne and Shirley, a director and actor, she was 75. She died. It kind of hits home because she died of diabetes and my wife has diabetes. No, not you. I mean my sister. Never mind. My wife doesn't, but my sister's a little diabetic. My sister is, so, you know, it hits home. And we've talked about this, that in the day, you know, it's all about money. It's all about money. It's all about money. And when my sister is like $3,000 or $4,000 a month just to stay alive. It's just one of those things. And that's kind of how it is. And that's where, you know, and I've had people tell me that there's rumor that there's cures for STDs, but they won't bring them out because then, hey, if you can cure any STD like that, why would anyone use a condom? It's one of those things moving forward, you know, that I think it just wakes you up to realize that, hey, you know, when I lost my brother and a lady who was like a mother to me, it just kind of hit home that, hey, life, I don't take my wife for granted. Like, I never really did, but I don't, even more so, I don't take her for granted. You know, and I don't take this life for granted. Because we live in this ever-changing world, which you have this group of people that are afraid to, okay, you know, If you were, I'd be afraid if I was a manager to bring a woman into the office. I'd want to have an interim person in there. Okay, I want you to document everything that happened so that she can't say I did this or I did that or this happened. Because what you think is normal, they might sit there and go, well, wait a minute here. Just so you know. Yeah, right. You inappropriately touched me. No, I might have bumped you. No, well, what you consider a bump, that's inappropriately touching me, and I'm offended. You know? Sort of like I guess it was in Kentucky, a woman froze to death, and a next-door neighbor was asked by police if she heard anything, and she heard this guy say, baby, it's cold outside. Tried to bring her in, you know? But it's one of those things that, you know, what if I pat someone on the back, it may be a hoorah, someone else might be offended. So what you do, and you may go, oh, they like this. I like this. Nobody, they may, oh, you offended me. Oh, you, that was sexual. No. I mean, I'd be afraid to take someone and pat them on the back or nice biceps. Yeah, I'm not gay. Don't touch me. It's one of those things. It's an ever-changing world. Now you got to be careful of anything you say, anything you do, because someone's going to get mad. Yeah, you know what happens if you get offended? Nothing.
Exactly.
Unless you're a liberal, and then you whine and cry, and you have to go to your safe space. I got to find my safe space. Yeah, I wanna get a building full of like sharp objects, like blades and knives. Safe space down here.
You wanna do what now?
Get like a room full of knives and sharp objects and say, safe space, come here. I'm sure I'm gonna catch heck for that one, but you know, if they're smart enough to go in there, it's a safe space. I need to have a place where there's no freedom of speech because I'm gonna be offended. Grow a pair. I can't believe he has the freedom to say what he wants. He offended me. Well, you have the right to say whatever you want, too. Oh, I know. Me either. Oh, I know, but still, I mean, it's just ridiculous that these kids, well, I need to have my safe space. I need to have my nap mat. You know, these kids, when they're like 6 years old and when they're in kindergarten, they want half day kindergarten, not full day, no more nap time, no more this, no more that. But then when they're 21 years old, I need my cocoa on my blanket. I need my cocoa on my blanket. Because I'm a college kid, and I mean, this is what started it for me when Hillary lost the election and they actually said, okay, we're going to allow some people to show me in the real world where they're going to like, yeah, we're going to extend your deadline on that magazine article because, you know, Hillary Clinton lost. Oh, colleges were like, oh, we're going to extend so you have more time to study for the test because then they're distraught over Hillary's losing the election.
People were getting, who voted for Obamacare, was getting fired because job owners couldn't
afford it.
Obamacare.
This is what's wrong with this society. I mean, kid, where I live, the Christmas parade was canceled because today it was supposed to be severely raining and lightning and all this stuff. Nothing happened.
Really bad weather.
And it never happened.
No. That's what was forecast.
Yeah. And they canceled it the day before. It never happened. See, these kids grow up thinking that everything's just going to be canceled. Everything's going to not happen. Everything's just going to, you know, sorry, in the real world, when there's 10 feet of snow where I work, you got to take care of people.
But if they would have gone through with it, had major lightning, hit something, caught fire, burnt the
city. Okay, well, they could have found out at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, hey, there's nothing coming or there's something majorly.
They were trying to save people money and stuff and wasting time.
Well, by noon, no one should have been even preparing for it. Still has 5 hours till it even started. They could have said, folks, we were going to have an announcement tomorrow at noon, so don't do anything, and if it happens, bang. I don't think anyone that does that parade that I know of does anything that they have to spend like 7 or 8 hours preparing. Because I remember 1 year I worked at a restaurant, and we had, it was a Valentine's Day, and oh, there was supposed to be an ice storm that came, and you couldn't buy a loaf of bread for like 40 miles. Everything was going to shut down. If we got half of the ice and snow we were supposed to get, that we were going to be crippled. They canceled school, all the stuff. We didn't get anything, not one drop of precipitation, nothing fell. 90% of our reservations canceled. It was ridiculous. All this food we bought, oh, it was sickening. It was sickening. But in today's day, you have to be prepared. See, but in the real world, I work in an assisted living continuing care community. We don't close. We're open 24/7. By law, if it's going to be severely bad, I've stayed there in my 14 years over probably 2 months to be there for those residents. And I've done a 28-hour shift because I did nighttime security, and then I baked and I cooked and did all this stuff. Yeah, after that 28-hour shift, I went up to one of the IL apartments that was empty. I lied down, and my friend Tammy goes, don't wake him for about 10 hours. And then I woke up. Well, I went to bed at like 6 a.m. and woke up at 11, came down, and the maintenance guy goes, you're still here. I said, well, I just went to sleep upstairs, and once I eat, I'm going home. He goes, yeah, because you're off for the next 2 days. You worked a 28-hour shift. I went home and I went back to bed. But it's what we have to do. We don't have a day off. Yeah, that was when a pipe burst and everything. So we have to be there. You know, and these kids have this unrealistic expectation that, oh, well, things close. And if you work in a hospital, things don't close. If you work in an assisted living continuing care community or a healthcare center, things don't close. Hotels don't close. A lot of times, hey, if power's out and they've got power, they'll take people in. The church my sister goes to, when 65 has been shut down because of severe roads, they've let people come in. And they've opened up their doors. They said, okay, we need to, and they've gotten some plans in place so that if it does happen, they can set these plans into motion so that they're not just like letting people in willy-nilly with no plan in place of what to do. And you know, sometimes in the city, it's great, but the intersections of I-65, you know, between Chicago and Illinois and Indianapolis, Indiana, is so bad that we don't have anything, and it's like, okay, it's so bad that people are coming off the road and they put them up, and you know, and if it's good in the city, a lot of people will jump in and help out and donate, and you know, and there's been restaurants that have brought, like Pizza Hut's brought like pizzas for them and stuff. So I want to get into this because this, I think this is cool. There's an 1891 $1,000 silver certificate, the only one that's expected or known to exist. It's in a private collection, and it's expected to go into an auction house at Stack Bowers Galleries, and it's expected to fetch upwards of $3 million for this $1,000 silver note. Wow. Man, if I had that kind of money, I could find a lot better things to buy than this. I mean, I think it'd be cool to have. To me, I was raised with something my dad taught me a long time ago, and I'm going to share this with you all. It's worth what you can get for it. I mean, yeah, if I'd be afraid. Okay, here's $3 million. Let's say it goes for let's do a guess. It goes for $2.5 million. I'd be okay. Well, I hope that you can, because it's worth what you can get. If there's only one. The problem is with one item is you have nothing to reference it to. You can't say, well, the last one that went up for auction 10 years ago went for $1.8 million. So you can, yeah, if two people are very interested in it, you can have a bidding war. And if no one's interested in it, then you don't have that, you know. And it's that whole, I mean, there was... I've seen some coins that go. I buy coins more for the metal content, you know, because it's like, okay, yeah. I don't see 2013 silver dollar. I don't see paying $100 for it just because they had to spend $75 to get it graded by PCGS or NCGS, you know, PCG, you know, one of the grading, NCG or PCGS. One of the grading companies that grades coins. That's a lot of what you're paying that money for, is to pay someone to grade it. And it's like, okay, well, I'm going to melt down that coin for silver value, so what difference does it make? I mean, you know, and then on that topic, in California, there was a jewelry store that was being robbed. And, of course, a guy with a gun, a good guy, saved the day. Go figure. What a concept. But you got to understand, too, though, when it comes to a good guy with a gun, when you have a good guy with a gun, you understand one major concept. You got to know when. I always look at it when it comes to using, when you're trying to defuse a situation, this is back in the day when Karate Kid was out, and one of my friends, that was when karate was cool, and this sensei said, you know, this is back in the 80s, and this when it was the end thing because of that movie, and the sensei goes, you got to think of it like Kenny Rogers, you know, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run. The whole point of karate is not to try to beat people up. It's to, if you get into a situation, how can you defuse the situation? How can you end the situation without even using karate? If that doesn't work, how do you take someone down in a way that it, there you go. How do you take them down so that you're not using a weapon, you're not hurting them, you're taking them down, say, okay, hey, I'm letting you know I know karate or I know jujitsu or kung fu or taekwondo. If you want to continue, we can go, you know, okay, there's the door, leave. If you want to get hurt, we can continue. That's not what I'm trying to do, but if you don't get the message that I know what I'm doing and I can hurt you, you know, and that's the thing with a guy with a gun. If you try to defuse it, and if you can't, the last bastion is using a gun. I read an article today that the Parkland school shooting in Florida, the guy that was the police officer there said that he had no obligation to protect the kids, but that's what you're there to do. I mean, I'm sorry, but we need to get those vets that know how to use a gun that are trained and have them at every school. Give them a job. I will say this, though. I got about 4 minutes or so left, and then I'm going to get into some Premier League. But what I've seen in my lifetime is a lot of, hey, it's all who you know. It's all who you know. I've known... I've heard of librarians making six figures because of who you know. So, I want to get into this a little bit because I don't know if you've heard, but In 2020, New Zealand could be holding a referendum on legalizing cannabis. That's long overdue. I think it should never have been legalized. But when a lot of countries are seeing and a lot of places are seeing, well, look at what's changed in Colorado. How bad was Colorado when you were there, Melissa? Not bad at all. I didn't notice anything. But it's legal. So it's one of those things that people are starting to see, hey, a lot of the stuff that we thought was going to be negative about it, hey, it's not that bad. It's not that bad at all. You know, and countries and stuff, Canada's legalized it. Mexico's basically legalized it. There's tons of people, as I was talking about the other day, that are, oh, we're going to Michigan to get weed. Well, they don't have dispensaries open yet. All legalized marijuana in Michigan right now means is if you have it on your person, they can't do anything about it. Because you can't buy it anywhere unless you've got a medical license. So it's one of those things that you have moving forward is I think we're on a roller coaster. I think in a year or less, maybe 2 years, 2 years or less at max, they're going to reschedule it to do more testing because they're having to do something because all these, it's federally illegal, yes, but all these states are legalizing it, and now they're like, hey, how do we bank? How do we do all this stuff? Because no one will deal with this because it's illegal. They can't bank because then it's considered laundering money. Can't do this. How do we do this? We need to get into because there are people saying Colorado's making billion after billion after billion, billion, billions of dollars. How do we get into this? We have to make it so we can bank. Because we need to cash in. That's where we're at. They're like, well, now that it's working, there's no problems. Usage is down because, so what, while I can smoke weed? I did all kinds of stuff. I drank, see, as soon as I turned 21, it's like, hey, you want to buy me liquor? Because now I can buy it anywhere. Now that I can drink legally, 100, I don't, me and my wife hardly ever drink. Once in a while, I come home and I'm like, I got to have a tequila rose and I have a shot of it. And I'm like, oh, Lord. And that's rare. But it's just one of those things that it's just neat to see that it's finally coming to fruition. And hopefully I'm looking at possibly going to the Cannabis Training University and getting training on it and learning because I want to know more. I want to be able to help people. I want to be able to give back to people. You know, I think my brother could have benefited from it. Even if he didn't survive, I think he would have possibly suffered less and, you know, whatever. You'll never know. I just think it's such a beneficial plant. It's going to be nice to be able to buy hemp jeans and not have to spend $89 for a pair. It's amazing because it's been illegal. Hemp's been illegal in this country for so long, but we're one of the biggest consumers of hemp products. Whether it's hemp milk or hemp clothing. I always loved hemp clothing. I used to buy hemp jeans, but it was like $80 for a pair of jeans. And one of the big problems was, here you go, folks. There you go. They have one length. Okay, 38 length. And I mean, I have to have hemmed and so we'll have to wait and see. Now for the part of the show you'll really like. If any of you remember that from Rocky and Boinkle, one of my all-time favorite shows. I'll tell you, this has been a cloud nine day for me because as many of you know, a lot of us, even the United Stands is called the hated stand and this and that and the negative stand. And if you don't know what the United Stand is, a guy by the name of Mark Goldbridge, his name he uses on the YouTube and stuff. He's a huge fan, and I was this is like 2.5 years ago. I used to be on TuneIn Radio. You could get the Premier League games, and then they started to be blocked. And I think if you do a paid subscription, you can get them or whatever. But it's like, you know, the games would be on, and right when the game was about to start, this game cannot be aired due to rights restrictions. So I'm like, okay, and then there were people for a little bit that would get them on, and you can listen to the audio version of the game at work via YouTube. And then through that, I started to see this watch along. I'm like, okay, is the game on? Like, what do you mean a watch along? And it's not that you're not seeing the game, and it was just him passionately talking about the game and what's going on and this and that and all this. I think he had like 80,000 when I joined. Now he has like almost 300,000+ people. And my wife had to get up early to go to work. So she gets up at 6, and like at 6:30 or whatever, I go to the bathroom and I come back, and you know, the best part of waking up is going back to the bed FDP. It's not Folgers in your cup. Sorry, but I get on my phone just to see what's up, and it says, Mourinho has tweeted for the first time in a while. And I get on there, and it says, Jose, Manchester United has officially announced Jose has left, you know, Old Trafford. I'm like, what? And I get on there, and that was the tweet. And I'm like, he's gone? And I start looking it up, and it says, United have officially announced that they have sacked Jose Mourinho. I'm like, are you kidding me? So like March. Now the whole thing is, okay, do they have someone in place? Were they waiting to make sure that was this going to happen? And they were making sure that the interim manager or the manager they selected is going to, this interim manager, is they want to make sure that he is actually going to be the interim manager and they don't sack him. And then, okay, now he's not going to be available. Now what do we do? What's the case and what's going on? And it is amazing. It's amazing because I never would have thought. Because like, I'm like, okay, we got, how long are they going to keep Jose Mourinho? I don't know. I'm like, oh, wow, this is all. Okay, what do we do? Where do we go? And where do we go from here? All we can do is go up. And we're looking at this, and I'm like, okay. Jose's in sacked. Holy cow. And is it going to be? Because rumors came out instantly that Pochettino is 100% interested in United and da 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 da. And if Pochettino could, if he's interested, they could say, okay, hey, well, if you're interested and they want you, why are we going to keep you? We're going to release you from the contract. You can just go to and start now. Why not? But going through all this stuff, and is there an interim manager? Is there a manager that's been announced? What's going on? And it has been tweeted by the Norway Prime Minister that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is the interim manager at Manchester United for 5 months. Norway?
Yeah.
He played for Manchester United, Solskjaer. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was the one that...
Yeah, he can stay in Norway, though.
It's a win-win situation. Of course, my wife has to give me crap. The she loved Arsene Wenger. She's a Gunners fan.
She likes Everton. But anyways,
I got to throw it in. But it's a win-win, because you think about with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. All we can, okay, he can experiment for 5 months. Okay, were we going to get top four? No. Were we going to make it to the Champions League final and win? No. Are we going to go to the to the Europa League next year? 90% chance, yes, in Mourinho. So we're only going to get better under Gunner. Under Solskjaer, no, he's too. But you think about it like that. He has nothing to lose because we were crap. It was crap football. The fans weren't liking it. They were here's you give me £5. I don't give me a fiver. You can have the tickets, girl. I ain't gonna go see that. Fans were giving away tickets. They were not going. The football was crap. Everything was crap. He lost the locker room. The players didn't respect him. Yeah, when they found out he was gone, they're like ecstatic. There's evidence that they consulted on the players, and the players like, don't get the... And I think they probably had this in mind for a couple days, and they wanted to make sure that they had someone to interim manager, because I think they probably asked Michael Carrick if he wanted to interim. He said, no, I'm not ready yet, no. But what could happen? Okay, if you interim manager... You weren't expected to do anything. You're not expected to go in. It's not like you're going to... It's not like if you get 6th or 8th place...
You're expected to keep them out of the relocation zone. Hello?
Well, the next 4 games, Manchester United could win without a manager. They're that... And I think... but I think, seriously, I honestly think this next match, couple matches, it's going to be exciting to see. Because I kind of feel like... This is the style of football I want to play. This is why I came to United. And Jose Mourinho is the exact opposite of everything I grew up watching United. I grew up watching Solskjaer. I grew up watching Andy Cole. I grew up watching David Beckham and Nilstroy and all this stuff I envisioned. It's not, I honestly, you know, it's been happening. And I think one of the big things, hey, we're going to give you a player. And let's see what happens. We'll give you Fred. Yep, we got you Fred. Did he play him? No. Was he using him? No. Why are we going to spend more money and give you more money for players if you're not going to play Fred? You're going to play long ball for Lane. The only reason he got his contract, no one would take him for what we were paying him. I would love to be in Solskjaer's position. He can experiment and find out who's what, and if it works, it does. And if he dominates, hey, he's a United legend. He knows what United's all about. He knows what the club's all about. He knows the style of football we play. And if it works out, hey, we got a contract for you. Now, I don't know if, and there's rumors, and this is speculation and rumor, but there's rumor that basically maybe Zidane wants the job or Pochettino wants the job, but they're going to wait. They say, yeah, we'll consider the job, but we're going to wait until the end of the season. I mean, as you know, and this is way back. This is 2 months ago. Zidane's agent has basically stated that Zidane is taking the year off just to relax. And if he went, you know, and I think that may be the case that if Solskjaer dominates and gets us in the top four, which would be anything above, you know, anything above 5th place, I'd be ecstatic with. But if he dominates and we sign him, okay. But if not, he had 5 months. He goes back to Norway. And, okay, Zidane, you're the manager. Or Pochettino, you're the manager. Or LeBlanc, you're the manager. And I think that's what they're doing. I think some of the managers that they talked to probably were like, hey, come May, when the season's over, I will come in and I will start developing, you know, and start from there. You know, get him ready for the summer tour, yada, 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 whatever. And he was willing to, the Norway national team was willing to give him time off and do this. I want to give kudos to Norway for doing that. for stepping up and saying, hey. But it's neat. I mean, it was something that was needed. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to see, because everyone's like, you know, if Pogba does not improve without Jose Mourinho, then I will admit, yes, he should go. But I think you're going to see a different Pogba. I want to see Alexis Sanchez and see what he does now that he doesn't have Jose Mourinho. He's got a manager that, like, okay, we play attacking football. That's what Manchester United did when I was here. This is what we did. And it's going to be neat to see that. It's going to be nice to see players that get, hey, I've been here. I scored a goal to win us the Champions League. I know what it takes at the highest level. And we'll see. And we weren't going to get much better, in my opinion. We were going to be sixth or seventh, maybe eighth or ninth at best. So what does he have to lose? Nothing. So I think it's a good thing for the club. It took us a lot of us by shock, especially Mark Goldberg. He was just going down there to film something for not even having to do it, you know. And Wrexham Plant on the United stand, they had a whole thing like, why haven't they sacked Mourinho? What the heck's going on? And they can't air it now because he's gone. As a joke, they should just air it, because I'm like, I actually tweeted to Mark and I actually wrote to him, and I'm like, I wonder when they're going to extend Jose's contract. And then when I woke up to this, now we have hope, we have excitement. They've seen, but granted, I understand when Alex Ferguson left, there really was no managers available, and they took David Moyes. I mean, Gary Neville has, yes, he's a United legend, class 92, yada, well, whatever. David Moyes after him was Louis Van Gaal. My wife liked Louis Van Gaal.
He's very calm, set back, unless the players play.
Because Louis Van Gaal is a defensive manager that's one of those people that doesn't believe he can affect the pitch. He's not a Bob Knight. Bob Knight throws a chair if he's mad. Louis Van Gaal is one of those people that doesn't believe he can affect the players.
I believe that as well, and I liked him for that reason.
Yeah, some people did. A lot of people did like him just for the fact that he's very lame. He's like, you know, other people want to have a manager that's like, hey, step it up, you know, like show some emotion. Don't be monotone.
See, I'm the type of person, you sit there and tell me what to do, I want to do the opposite because you told me to do it. I know what I need to do. If I don't, I'll ask you.
And yeah, you would last about one day at United under Alex Ferguson, because if you thought you were, if you didn't listen to me, I'm the manager. If you think you're better than I am, it wouldn't have mattered.
I'm the player. You have a job for me, because of me. So you're not better than me. Yeah,
If you're better than me, then you'd be the manager. Me.
Say I'm better. Not like you're thinking you're better. I'm just saying you have a job because of me. Let me do me. Then we can talk and help me. But don't sit there while I'm trying to work or trying to play and scream at me. That's distracting. I'm gonna play worse if not on purpose because you're sitting there screaming at me.
Well. I guess that motivates me. If he's telling me you're supposed to be over here, not here, okay,
well,
yeah.
You're in the kitchen. You have a chef when you were top chef training. You're lucky you didn't cut your hand off. Cut this. No. I don't work like that.
If you know who Gordon Ramsay is, I've worked for many chefs that make him look like a pussy. That are like, it's 100% exactly, 100% perfect. Okay, here's 50 potatoes. I need them cut. I'm going to put this in an electron microscope. If every single dice is not 199% perfect, I'm going to take that knife, I'm going to slit your throat, I'm going to pull out your heart. You know, and it's like, and, but, you know, some people love that. Other people want, you know, And I've worked where it's perfect or forget it. There is no good job. So, it's just one of those things. But I'm just, it's just exciting because now we have, thank you, Santa Claus. He brought us the greatest Christmas gift ever. See, but, I mean, how can Justin Reel be mad? He's getting $25 million. That was his sacking clause. Well, you think about it. I heard this one time that when who was it? Brian Kelly, the coach of Notre Dame, when he was the coach at Notre Dame, they were still paying Charlie Weiss a salary.
I have a question. Could Brian Kelly get another coaching job, or is he done coaching?
No, he can work. I mean, if PC,
see him getting
I don't know. I really do. Well, I'll put it like this. I didn't want him in the first place, for all my fans and listeners to know. When he was halfway through a season at Chelsea, kind of lost the locker room, and they sacked him, I'm like, and we're going to pick that. If he had left Chelsea and gotten second place 1 year, a first place 1 year, and a second place, and we picked him up, okay. But when he was sacked, and I'm like, okay. I know his Wikipedia page, but I didn't see his Wikipedia page the last time he was when he got sacked. I'm not seeing that Wikipedia. I'm seeing the style of play he was successful with is slowly being irrelevant to where it doesn't work. And I'm like, why are we taking that? Why are we taking another Chelsea reject? It's not like he was dominating at Chelsea and he goes, Manchester United came available. Sorry, but this is my dream job. I'm dominating at Chelsea, but I want to do it at United. He was sacked at Chelsea, and then they took him at United. And I'm like, oh, Lord. Got about 90 seconds left in this program, folks. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. But I'm like, oh, what the heck? I was like, what you be thinking, son? Why are you taking a reject from Chelsea? What are you doing? Are you bloody crazy, mate? You know, but I'm like, what in the heck? But, you know, I'm like, okay. He always gets a title in the second year, and it didn't happen. But but the fans, as long as I would rather lose doing an attacking style of football and playing the United way instead of being, okay, let me see here. Oh, wow. Let me see here. Yeah, we suck, and we're horrible. And we're, you know, if we lose and we're giving 100%, we're not parking the bus, then okay. That's about all I have time for, folks. I want to thank you so much for tuning in to the program that I hope you feel a part of. And get out there and do something. Make a difference. You never know. Because what you think is irrelevant, is important to someone else. So remember, for a firm alliance and the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and a sacred honor. Until this Thursday, good night and God bless. Goodbye.